This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to a special prospect interview on the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel and our podcast feed. I am Maxwell Baumbach, and today I am joined by one of the best defenders in all of college basketball who is now going pro. He's received an invite to the Portsmouth Invitational. He is Malachi Lyons. Malachi, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you on. As someone who lives in Illinois, I'm always kind of pulling for the home state teams and the guys who are playing for the colleges here in Illinois. So it was a pleasure getting to watch you at Bradley these past couple of years. For people who are just sort of dropping into the draft process now and maybe haven't seen your game before, how would you describe yourself as a player to someone who hasn't watched you before?
I feel like I'm kind of a jack of all trades. I kind of play from outside. I shoot. I can guard multiple positions trying to like play fast and run the floor a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for the unfamiliar, he is 6'9". So one of these guys who has size, sort of that modern forward game. And really versatile on the defensive end, which is something I want to spend some time on later. But I like to start at the very beginning. What got you into basketball growing up?
So everyone back home plays soccer, but I figured out very quickly that soccer wasn't going to be the sport for me. So I decided on an indoor sport where I could use my height. And it started when I was 8 and kept playing in the Netherlands till I was about 18. And that's when I made the step to go to America.
Yeah. So growing up in the Netherlands, so I actually grew up in an area which has like a pretty big Dutch population, and like all my friends growing up, like they were just only into soccer. Like I was the only kid who was like, let's talk about basketball. And all my friends only cared about soccer. So what was like the basketball culture like there? Like, was it different? Was it like harder to find guys that wanted to play? Is there a lower level of interest, or is there still like a real like contingent of people that are
there's like a medium level of interest? Like basketball is definitely smaller than here in America, but I still had like 10-20 other guys in the neighborhood who were playing. And I moved to Amsterdam when I got older, when I was 14, and that's where like basketball was like bigger and like all the good kids would go to.
So you made the decision to come to the U.S. You initially played at Mineral Area, which is a JUCO in Missouri. And what led to the decision to come to the U.S. and like, how did you get in contact with the folks there? Like, what led you to there?
So when I was younger, I just like saw March Madness and like saw college basketball, and I really wanted to be a part of that. And junior college was like the way for me to achieve that. And one of my coaches back home knew the coach at Mineral Area, Luke Streggy. So that's kind of how I got into college basketball and like started my journey.
Mm-hmm. So you had some good seasons there. From there, you ended up at Bradley. What was it that led you to choose Bradley? Because you're a guy that has this kind of malleable game at 6'9". I'm sure there's probably a lot of other schools who were interested in you as well. Why did you pick Bradley?
Just like the winning culture. And they had a few Dutch players at Bradley before already. So it kind of like made the connection pretty easy and the transition.
Yeah, and they do have a winning culture. Like, they're a program that, like I mentioned, you know, growing up around here, they've generally been one of the better programs in college basketball. A lot of 20 win seasons recently, something that you've been a part of. During your time at Bradley, is there anything that stands out that you're most proud of?
We won a regular season championship last year. That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something I will remember.
When you first made the transition from playing at Mineral Area to playing at Bradley, what were the biggest differences in terms of being on the court? Was it just higher skill players, athleticism, size? Like, what was kind of the first thing that jumped out to you as far as maybe something that was a little bit tougher?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That first season at Bradley,
yeah, a little more physical, and I had to play started to play like a different position because I played the five at the junior college, and I wasn't the tallest and the biggest guy anymore once I went to D1 level.
Do you feel like playing the five kind of helped you though? Because I feel like there's a lot of stuff instinctively as far as like how you protect the rim from the weak side, how you rotate, that like shows up that feels like five instincts. Do you think that ultimately kind of helped you out?
I think so, yeah. Like, yeah, just like having to block shots and just having to like be that force inside, I guess that kind of helped me in a way.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, come to think of it, like making that sort of positional change too, it's a tough league to do that in, because the Missouri Valley, as far as like wings and forwards the last couple of years, has had a lot of really talented players between guys like Tucker DeVries, Ben Shepherd, Toby Okani, Chase Carter, who transferred to Texas A&M. Like there's Ben Humrickhouse. Like there's no shortage of guys that are really talented at the wing and forward position. Do you feel like having to make that jump and immediately just play against all these really talented forwards, do you think that like helped you, or was that a little bit overwhelming at first? Like Missouri Valley is a tough league.
It definitely helped forward spot. And it's like challenging, because like my first year I had to like guard really good wings as well, and I was like, yeah, it's a little different than guarding bigs at the JUCO level, so definitely helped me improve as a player.
And one thing that kind of stood out that I thought was interesting was just kind of looking through the numbers statistically, you performed really well against good competition this past season. Like your production in games against the better teams was really good. What do you attribute that to? Do you think you're just a guy who kind of rises to the occasion, or do you get up a little bit more for big games? Does the game plan change a little bit, or?
No, the game plan doesn't change. I just like enjoy those games more, like playing against really good players. Like want to prove myself, and I feel like it just works out for me better.
Mm-hmm. So your standout skill, the thing that I would say you're kind of hanging your hat on, and the NBA teams that are going to see you at Portsmouth, the thing that they're kind of coming to see is your defense. You won back-to-back Missouri Valley Defensive Player of the Year awards. How have you sort of developed on that side of the ball? And was that always your calling card? Like even when you were back in the Netherlands, like were you kind of known as a defensive specialist, or is that just sort of how your game evolved?
I think I was always like good at defense, but like ever since I came to Bradley, coach really harped on whatever position you play, it depends on who you can guard. And if I wanted to play, I needed to guard other threes and fours. So I really try to like work on it and stay solid and like getting a lot of steals and blocks. I was always really good at, but I feel like I got good at like just staying in front of my man and navigating screens. I really improved on that these last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It was something that jumped out on film to me this past year, was just how well you moved, because you've always been a guy with high steal and block rates, you know, 2.7 mm-hmm. steal percentage, 5 block percentage this past year. But yeah, like you mentioned, you've been kind of sitting down in your stance more, just walling off. The way that you slide your feet looks a lot better. Was that sort of just a reps thing? And how did you, it's interesting because you also played a larger offensive role in each of your three seasons at Bradley. So yeah. Can you talk a little bit about still being able to give that level of effort on defense while playing a bigger offensive role? Because I think a lot of guys use that as an excuse. They say, I'm playing a bigger offensive role, I'm going to take it a little bit easy on the defensive end. But you've been one of their top scorers each of these seasons too. But you still keyed in on defense. How did you manage to do both?
It's just a buy-in, and it's something I really like pride myself on, like being good on both sides of the court. I want to be like, have an impact on the game, like 94 feet, and don't want to always have to have the ball in my hands to do something.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, something that really stood out on the tape is how well you do in those ball screen settings, like you mentioned, but also just like blowing up handoff plays and things like that. On those types of plays, what are you looking for? Like when another team is running a ball screen, like how is it that you're able to generate steals or bait players into making mistakes on those possessions?
Just know their like tendencies and trying to use my length as much as possible, like trying to disrupt the play, whatever they're trying to do, like be the aggressor on the defensive side.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel more comfortable? Like, would you say you're a better on-ball defender or off-ball defender at this stage? Because I thought before I was always like, great off-ball, but you're on-ball that kind of caught up, I thought, this last year. Like, do you think you're better in one area?
Not necessarily better in one area, but I like to just play one-on-one on the defense, on-ball situation.
Mm-hmm. And when you get to the next level in the NBA, what types of positions do you kind of see yourself guarding?
I feel like I could guard wings, like 3-4-2 guys.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, I think that's a good assessment. You do, like I mentioned, though, like you're still one of these guys that I think calling you a defensive specialist would be a little bit unfair. You've been really good on the offensive end for Bradley as well. You've made some real strides and kind of developed your game on that side of the court as well. That's why you were an all-conference selection as well as being, you know, all-defense. All Missouri Valley first team selection this year. On the offensive end, what do you think is the thing that you do best right now?
I feel like I'm very versatile on the offensive side. So whatever like the defense throws at me, I always have like a counter. Like if they put a small guy on me, I can like post a mismatch. If they put a big guy on me, I'm fast enough to go past them. And I can space the floor with my three-point shot. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that just...
Yeah. I thought your three-point shooting has always been something that just immediately stood out, because NBA teams, they're always looking for kind of those 3-and-D wing types of players. And that's always been something that you had, and you've always been a good free throw shooter. At your size, like it's often diminishing returns. Like generally the taller guys get, the worse guys shoot. How have you been able to be a successful jump shooter at your size? And is that something that's like always been there, or is that something that's taken you a while to develop and bring along?
No, that's something I always just been doing, like trying to shoot from outside. And it's just something I practice on a lot and have worked on a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I thought a couple of things that stood out this year was how much more you were doing around the basket on offense, whether it was after an offensive rebound or cutting, but you're a guy who can finish above the rim as well. What led to that development and that sort of increased assertiveness of not only being a guy who can spot up and shoot, but doing more at the rim? Because this year you made 70% of your shots around the basket in the half court, which is a great number. How did that kind of come to be?
I feel like with our lineup, like the players we had on our team, we had a lot of players who were like good from the outside, so I felt like I'd kind of fill that role for our team and attack the basket and trying to score, make some inside plays.
Mm-hmm. For sure, it definitely showed up and it definitely paid off. With the NBA draft kind of coming up, You're now getting into that pre-draft process. Is there any one area of your game that you're sort of focused on improving the most? Or is there any area of your game that you maybe want to show people, you know, a little something different than what they've seen on the college tape?
I'm trying to get used to the new range from the NBA, like the farther range. And I've just been working on my shot a lot, like getting it off and a different kind of footworks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I think it's something that a lot of times people forget is when evaluating, is that that line does get farther back. With the NBA three-point line, I mean, you were a guy that came off screens, but you also were like a pick and pop guy at the college level. So talking about that footwork, how do you kind of drill that? And is there one area that you're focused on more? Like, do you focus more on moving into the shot from like a pop standpoint or coming off of a ball screen? Like, what sort of things have you been working on from that standpoint?
I've been working a lot on like the transition trees, actually, just like running into them and like a different type of 1-2s and stuff, or just move from the full court and in transition and get the shot off.
That's also a great way to just make cardio go by faster, to run into the shot from the three-point line.
Makes it a little more fun.
Exactly. One thing I always like to just ask guys is, you know, obviously you're gonna have a long professional career playing basketball. Whenever that's done, whenever your playing days in basketball are done, is there anything that you want to do after basketball?
No, I have no clue yet. I still get
that's fine.
I don't watch. But just write the basketball out first, and then I will find something else I'm passionate about.
Absolutely. I love that. I'm 33 and I don't know what I'm doing next either. So, I'm right there with you.
There we go.
If people want to follow along with your journey and pay attention to what you're doing, where can they find you on social media?
Just my name on Instagram and on Twitter. You can find me there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. If you're not familiar with his game, get familiar with it. He's a name you're going to see a lot these next few months throughout the pre-draft process. So Malify, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. No problem.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will be back on the podcast feed soon, so stay tuned for everything that we're putting out in the lead up to the 2024 NBA Draft.